Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today, including some news that we didn't get to because politics gets a little dicey on the show. The Biden administration announced for the first time they're going to let journalists into the Texas border facilities that is housing the young migrants who crossed the southern border after weeks of denying access to members of the news. So they finally are like, hey, we're going to let people in, because some other videos surfaced last week of the conditions there. And what's really crazy about this stuff is they're like, okay, we're going to let you guys come in, but you can't talk to anybody. You're going to go to this facility that isn't like the other one with somebody leaked information from. And, you know, they talk about being forthright and we're going to work across the aisles and we're going to do all these things. And as of right now, it's a lot of talk, and I am not seeing the action match the talk.
Right.
You know, and that's my frustration with it, because, like, it's a less contentious presidency because he's saying all the right things that sound good. Mm-hmm. You know, Trump was inflammatory, and so he would ruffle people and rile people up. But then it's like, okay, what do your actions do? What are you actually doing? And so they're letting people in. They have the same problem. Actually, the problem has gotten worse at the border since he took office because of some of the statements that he made early on. And so now they have to deal with it. And so, like, the media is calling it a crisis at the border, and then the White House is like, it's not a crisis. Come on, it's not a crisis. Don't do that. But when Trump was in charge of things, it was a crisis.
Right.
And they ran on the premise of, it's a crisis. Well, guess what? It's still a crisis. You got to be the same person you were 6 months ago when you were trashing people. And, like, you have to own this, because at some point ABC News today even was like drug Trump back into it, and they're like, no, you have to stand on your own merits now. You can't keep blaming the past administration when you're not showing up and you're not handling this, you know. And so Biden is going to have a press conference today where he'll get asked questions, but it will be a totally different tone than anything that Trump was ever asked in a press conference.
You're
for sure.
Saying it's going to be a bit, they're going to be a bit easier on him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They'll push him a little bit on some of this stuff. They'll ask him about gun reform, which he'll be able to just go, and that's an easy one. That's a slam dunk down the middle, like, for his position on that. But, like, so no one's going to, his view of that will align with the media view, so that'll be easy. But the border stuff is going to be a much harder for him to sidestep, because they held Trump so accountable for it. If you're doing your job as a reporter, you have to have the same viciousness, you know, in this with him as well, and hold his feet to the flame the same way you did Trump. You know, whether you like him or don't like him, it doesn't matter. That you have to be even in how you treat each of these people with this really serious situation.
Because if it's not even, then it's not truthful. It's not honest.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, like, for me, my problem is, when you lose my trust, you've lost me. And, like, I'm already, like, I'm not a Trump supporter or a fan or anything like that. Like, I just want fairness across the board from my media. I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool, like, Trump guy. I am a Republican, and so I don't care for, like, the Democratic, you know, model of things that they want to do and where we're going to go in the next 4 years. Full disclosure, that's my bias. But I'm telling you that, and I'm not a news source. You know, I can tell you where I stand on this stuff. And so it'll be interesting to watch his thing today, because I'm definitely going to watch the press conference to see how much they hold him accountable.
Yeah.
They have done a little bit more than I thought they would. Like, Stephanopoulos pushed him on a couple things in his last interview with him, and he's much kinder about it. But he did try to keep pushing him. But it will be a point at which I think President Biden's going to find out. Yeah, you're saying, you're like everybody's grandpa. Like, everyone's like, oh, he's a nice guy. I like him. Give me a quarter. You know, but, like, at some point in time, you have to back up what you're saying, you know, and it has to match what you're saying. So that will be interesting. And speaking of people saying stuff, there is a thing going on in Capitol Hill where Mark Zuckerberg, Google CEO, and Twitter CEO are appearing before the House subcommittees talking about the disinformation nation, like social media's role in promoting extremism and misinformation. Because you might have noticed this, like, it started like, okay, they shut Trump's Twitter site down, and so now he has no voice inside of anything. And then what would happen is you'd start seeing people, like, their sites being shut down or flagged, or, you know, different cautions would be on their site if they said anything that doesn't align with what the government is putting out
right.
and what the CDC is saying. And so to me, that gets really dangerous. Like, I get it, there's danger on both sides, like misinformation with a health crisis or misinformation with racism, misinformation with any of these things is definitely a big deal because people don't do their research. They just take things at face value. But the squelching of information where you, Mark Zuckerberg, or you, you know, any of these CEOs now are responsible for being the gatekeeper of information, that's not good either.
No.
Like, this is a business guy, you know? Like, that's not a healthy thing where you decide what is and isn't valid and what then is allowed to be shared. That's not what social media was ever intended for.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really... I just feel like there's so much drama.
But again, at some point in time, like I, for a long time, have been like, oh, you know what? It's just going to be what it's going to be. But then there's a point in time which things are going to get so crazy here and so left that it's going to be, you're going to have to take a stand somewhere and say, okay, enough is enough. You know, it's going to get out of control if you keep doing this nonsense. You know, like my wife has friends that have posted things about their experiences with the vaccine or other people that they know that have had a bad experience. So they've posted things and they're like, they get flagged by Facebook. Like, Facebook flags them for misinformation. Like, no, this is my experience. You can't tell me it's misinformation. It doesn't align with what you want to put forward so that everyone, you know, you just get everyone to lockstep in line with what you want to do.
Right.
Like, and create groupthink and create drones. Like, fine, yeah, it doesn't match with that. But don't censor me if it's my experience.
Yeah.
That's where I think it gets really, really dangerous in having business people who also have vested interests with the people that they're dealing with becoming gatekeepers of this information.
Could this cause maybe a different social media platform Facebook could lose?
What happened when Trump got shut down on Twitter, then a lot of people moved over to this other site and then that started having problems. So it's just a crazy...
It'll follow you wherever you go. Like, I feel like there isn't a form of social media where it's just like this perfect balance. Like, it's always going to have somewhat of a gear towards some bias.
Well, yeah, I mean, and there is bias. And I don't mind.
Oh, sure.
I don't mind bias from you. I don't mind bias from me. I don't mind that at all. My thing is media bias. That's the thing I don't like, is news pretending that they are unbiased when they are anything but that, you know? Mm-hmm. Or politicians saying, we're going to work together. And then the first big thing that you push through, you did not work together. You forced something through, you know? And so that is where I'm a big, big proponent of do what you say. You know, if you're going to do what you say, that's what I always tell kids too, like coming up in business, you know, and things like that. Like, look, the best thing that you can do is show up on time or early and do what you say you're going to do. You do those two things, you're already a standout star. Mm-hmm. How sad is that in our society? Because we've gotten so used to people lying to us or not doing what they say. And I hate to admit it, but I'm going to start getting more conspiracy minded, I think. Because I'm already kind of bent to that, but I've really tried to navigate myself with that. But boy, the more I see things and the more I hear other experiences and then see what the government pushes down, the more I go, because I've always known there are conspiracies. There are, because you can't govern a society without having some element of that. You have to have some secrets. And I agree with it. I understand that. I'm not ignorant. I realize that happens. Like UFOs. I know. Like, you can't tell people there are UFOs. I get it. I get you. I believe it. I don't believe in UFOs personally, but I know if you have one, I know why you're not telling people, because it would freak people out.
Yeah,
and it would mess a whole lot of other things up. Yeah. So I get it. You got to keep some of these things under wraps. But boy, howdy, that COVID, I think we're going to look back 2 years from now, kind of like the Kennedy assassination. And when documents started to become public, all of a sudden people were like, wait, this might be a conspiracy, and there might have been more than one shooting. Like, and then you start hearing more information. I think we're going to see in COVID, retrospectively, there was a ton of misinformation, and not from conspiracy sites, but from the government.
Sure.
I really do believe that once people finally get out of it, because right now everyone's just trying to survive. Everyone's trying to keep their head above water, trying to do what they think is best for other people. But I think in trying to do what they feel is best, there are bad things happening inside of that ultimately that will come out and will come to the surface. So just mark it down, 25th of May or March. Mark it down. Wally called it.
Wally called it.
Yeah, I liked it. There, like Melissa, our show historian, one of our other show historians, like she will mark this down. And a year from now, 2 years from now, she will remember this. So I appreciate that about her. All right, that's enough of ranting and enough politics. I'm even tired of it now. Lady Rock, let's do some least of these.
The Library of Congress announced its 2020 selections for the registry to highlight modern music or just music in general. So,
okay.
The National Recording Registry of the Library of Congress.
I don't trust them for like knowing what's good music.
Well, I mean, it's not that bad.
Really?
So yeah, all these songs are considered classics, and they are they're preserved in history. So here's a couple that were made for the year 2020. So the first one is, his last name I will butcher. But he was known as Israel Kamakawiole.
Yep.
But he did Over the Rainbow, What a Wonderful World.
The ukulele version of this.
That's such a good song.
Yes. So good.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
I think he passed away.
He did at 38.
Yeah, he was
left
a big
behind
boy.
A wife and a daughter. He got up, they said, to 700 and something pounds.
Like
he fought obesity for his 38 years. But he left us with this. So good. It reminds me of Lilo and Stitch.
This is what got me into playing ukulele. I'm like, I want to learn how to play that song. Very nice. This is one of the ones that, like, when people do this Over the Rainbow, like in movies and things like that, this is the version that they usually go
so
to.
Good.
It's really good. Yeah.
We're going to go in an opposite direction from 1980, Celebration by Kool &
the
Gang.
Yes, come on.
Woo! Break good times, come on.
Although, I just started to have a panic attack because this is one of the beds I use during support drive. Like, and the good news is, like, usually when we've hit something or something good's happened, I play this. But this used to be just about fun and parties, and now it reminds me of support drive.
So true. All right, we're going to go. Oh.
I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to enjoy it for a minute.
So bring your good times and your laughter, too. We going to celebrate your party with you.
Come on now. Oh, so good, Kool & the Gang. All right, what do you got?
All right,
next?
We're going back a year, 1979, with Kermit the Frog singing The Rainbow. No, don't say no. This is a classic. I love this song. I can't even emphasize how much I love this song. It's just sweet. It's kind.
I do not like the Muppets at all. I'm not playing it. I can't push the button.
No, you will play it.
You come over here and push the button. I'm not pushing the button.
Then I gotta get up.
I know you gotta get up. It's a long walk.
Come on, just do it.
Oh, Gavin!
They will find it. The rain.
Stop.
I can turn it off too, Gavin.
Let me have my
moment. I don't wanna fight.
The potties wanna hear it.
All right, here, Rock.
Someday we'll find it. The rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me. La da 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 da.
Is this on your iPod? Like, do you? I could see you having this actually on your iPod.
The instrumental version.
Oh my gosh,
I love it.
That's so crazy.
I love it. All right, then we're going all the way to 1938 with Louis Armstrong. When the Saints Go Marching In.
Oh no! Oh, Louis Armstrong. I'm thinking of What a Wonderful World. Was that Louis Armstrong too? That's one of my favorite.
I think
songs.
He did a version of that.
That's like in every chick flick too. Like,
okay.
That's so good. But this is. Reminds me of New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, very jazzy.
What Christian artist do we play that you know is from New Orleans?
Oh, Lauren Daigle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a little trivia there for you. Her and Harry Connick Jr. are both.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's from
New
Orleans.
He just came out with a Christian album.
No, he did not. Really?
I think it's just like I saw this like just last night. I forget what it's called, but it's got what looks like a more of a hymn vibe to it. So I don't know if it's great. I actually don't know if I
like
his music.
I like Harry Connick.
You do? Okay.
I like him. I liked him musically, you know, because it was kind of that kitsch style. But then I actually liked him as an actor. I really thought the things that I
and
seen
Hope
him
Floats.
Hope Floats. He's really good in that. He was good on Will and Grace too, the TV show.
Oh yeah,
like he was good on that. Like
I thought he was.
Yeah, I think he's a good. I think he's a good actor.
Want to move to birthdays?
I would love to.
Okay. Courtney wants to wish Garson a happy birthday. She said, pronounced like Carson, but with a G.
With a G.
Yeah. He's the best husband and dad and a huge March Madness fan. Go Ducks.
Ah, who are the Ducks? Wait, Portland? No, Mighty
what
Ducks
was it
is
again?
Hockey.
Go Ducks, Ducks for March Madness.
Oh, Oregon.
Oregon
like
Ducks.
The college. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a very fierce mascot. Yeah.
I don't know. If you hand them bread, they will attack you.
Have you ever been attacked by
a
duck?
Mean.
I have.
Well, I've been close.
I've been attacked by a duck. They are a little scary.
See?
They're wiry.
See?
They're not super cute. Yeah, if they're coming at you with their little beak, don't they have teeth, too?
They do. It scares you more than it hurts.
Sure.
It's more. They're more like psychological terrorists. They really are. Like, they're not going to really hurt you, but boy, they will put the fear of duck in you.
I will never eat duck again.
I don't. I've had duck once. I don't care for it.
Yeah. Kristen, today is her birthday. Happy birthday, Kristen. She said she's a potty from Reno, Nevada. We talked on an IG Live last year in the middle of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Grateful for the show and the balance of humor and godly insight and encouragement.
Nice.
Her question is, if you knew this time last year what you know now about COVID, what would you do differently, if anything?
Oh, I would start making and selling masks. Absolutely.
Seriously, though. That's a really good point.
Again, when this came up, I remember this because I'm thinking, man, I watched all these women go on Etsy and making all these custom masks and things with different sports teams and stuff like that. I'm like, why are you wasting your time? This is going to be a month, maybe 2 months. It's not worth the investment. Mm-hmm. And then a year later, wow, I should have gotten in on some of that mask money.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Rock?
I don't know if this would count, but I haven't gotten it yet, knock on wood. So if I knew I wasn't getting it, I would just go out still.
Oh. Yeah.
I wouldn't have stayed home as much.
Yeah, you did stay home a lot. I think a lot of people did. I think people have run their course with that.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
And I think the vaccine has given people a false sense of security in some ways. We're like, oh, everyone's getting the vaccine. We're fine now. And it's like, I think CDC is like, yeah, we're not there yet. And stuff. Because I see, I was at a restaurant the other night, and I still wore my mask in, and because I don't know where you are or not supposed to. We sat outside, but boy, you would think that no COVID ever existed in this pizza place.
Sneezies.
Gavin?
I probably would either go visit my parents or get them to come visit me. Yeah. Just because, and I've gone to New Mexico during the pandemic just to see them, and we did we only were at their house and they quarantined for a week before we got there, so we did it in a safe way. But again, in the last year, I've seen my parents one time.
Right.
So
I would
love to. We had all these trips planned. My dad was going to come out for a football game, then the family was going to come out just to visit us here in Nashville, and then they were being safe and not going on flights. But I would just love to see my parents.
Yeah.
So I'd go with that.
Look at that. My wife has different standards, and I don't know where they land sometimes with COVID. For example, we were seeing all my sisters again when my brother got out, so coming from all different parts of the country, and I wasn't thinking twice about it. Oh, this would be great. And she's like, are you nervous? I'm like, about what? She's like, well, you don't know what they're doing and who they're around. And I have one sister that is very particular about it, and they used to ozone their food and stuff, and then I've got another sister who their church still meets fully and no mass and stuff. So I'm kind of in the middle of those two. I'm a go figure. I'm not in an extreme on this. I'm in the middle of my family. I didn't think twice about it. But for some reason, it caused my wife to think, well, I'm going to wear my mask when we all get together. I'm like, all right, that's fine. That's
well, she's got to think that way because you don't think that way.
I don't.
About germs, about anything.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't know why. It's my family, but yeah, they could be infected just like anybody else. But, oh boy, and I won't even don't even get me started on the conspiracy theory with the numbers.
No. Oh boy,
I'm not going back there.
Let's not.
I don't feel like it.
Let's end it.
I know.
On a happy note.
Let's do that. Happy birthday to everybody.
Should we play Kermit to go out?
Oh, that's
yes!
A great idea. Here we go.
Someday we'll find it.
The COVID connection.
Why are you the way you are? You are the
and
worst.
All right, that's going to do it for your aftercast.